From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Spring is very much here in the Wasatch back. And many of us have, and will again, make the mistake of planting too early or planting perennials that thrive in Miami or Hawaii, but not at 7,000 feet. Or one of the many other things we do when we just want flowers and greenery, but don't consult with the experts. Joining us in studio is one of those experts, Sophie Kohler of Park City Nursery. Welcome, Sophie.
Good morning, Lynn and Pete. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on here. And Lynn hinted at gardening as a component of mental health. And for me, it has been in the past and is not so much currently as I reside here in Park City. And we have so many people who've moved from Texas and wonderful lush places. Park City can be a less therapeutic gardening experience.
Absolutely. We get that a lot. We get new people moving to Park City that want their garden that they had in Connecticut. And it's just different here, but you can still have the benefits of a beautiful garden.
But they're selling such beautiful flowers and the vegetables at Home Depot. Should we respond to those sirens?
So big box stores get their product from a central place that suits their distribution. Park City Gardens gets all of our plants and flowers and veggies from local and regional growers. So everything is either our neighbors here, or for hardy tree stock and shrubs, it comes from high altitude farmers.
That's probably really key, is to have them started, germinated, and all that at high altitude. Where are some of your sources?
A lot of our sources are in the far north of Idaho, right up by the Canadian border, where it's a really unique ecosystem. And we've been using these people for decades.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about, I noticed on your website, we know you as Park City Nursery, but you also mention yourself as being Park City Gardens. And you have, since you purchased the business, how many years ago now? 5 years?
About six.
Wow. Yes. Time flies. You really have kind of changed the business model. Can you talk about that?
Sure. First, we are absolutely still Park City Nursery. The nursery is our bread and butter business, 100%. But technically, a nursery is a place where you grow your own plants. And we are not doing that anymore. A long time ago, there was some bare root growing. It actually wasn't successful here in Park City. The name stuck, Park City Nursery. It's good. We call ourselves Park City Nursery an awful lot. But at the end of the day, we are a retail nursery. We're selling what local and regional growers are growing. We gently rebranded to Park City Gardens, even though we're not super severe about it, just because we are a lot more than a nursery now. We are open year-round, whereas we didn't used to be. We used to be closed for the first quarter. Now we sell indoor plants, and we have a floral design studio with cut flowers, a full brick-and-mortar flower shop, as well as where we have our indoor plants. We have gifts and all sorts of cute things over in the boutique. And as many of you have noticed driving along 224, we are currently opening a coffee shop and a new beautiful greenhouse, both of which will be open year-round.
I couldn't wait. I was going to ask you about the big greenhouse and the coffee shop. And I'm super excited to see what's going to come out of that, or what's going to grow out of that.
Definitely. We are going to have more of what we have now. So we are going to have the tropical plants and indoor plants year-round. We'll have more variety. We'll be able to have larger things. Right now we have what we can put in our little 1890s Victorian building. And then we'll have our tender annuals. We'll be able to have herbs sooner in the season and later in the season than we currently do. And we'll be a little reprieve from the winter in February and March when you need to come in and get some humidity on your skin and just smell some beautiful plants will be your new spa.
So without, you know, leaving us not addressing the cliffhanger, when do we plant? Before we get there, this year is looking to be unique in its normalcy because of the drought and the low water levels. Tell us a little bit about where you are in looking at that. I mean, does that make an impact, and how?
Absolutely. It was a scary, nail-biting winter, not getting all the snow that we normally get and we need. Some tips that I can say off the bat is please hold off on turning on your irrigation system and sprinklers until you absolutely have to. So right now you can make sure that they're all in place and working properly for when it is time. But the longer you wait, you're also being water conscious, but it's better for your plants, because now's the time that they're going to start getting their roots growing down deeper. And that's what you want. The sooner and the more that you water them, they keep their shallow roots, and it's hard for them to get established.
Does that go for the lawn too? Should we try to hold off until some years I haven't turned on my sprinklers until early July and it's worked, but I sort of wonder if this year is one of those years, unfortunately.
That's fantastic. And yes, it absolutely goes for the lawn. One thing that you can do is dig down 3 to 5 inches or so in your lawn. If you get to some moisture, you don't need to turn on your sprinkler system yet. And it all depends, right, on our rains and on the temperatures.
Mm-hmm. So many questions, but I wanted to mention the blog that you put up on Park City Nursery website. And I learned a lot of things just in this I think it was the most recent blog. So I am pretty religious about when I plant a new perennial, putting in root starter. Well, I learned from your blog, but that you don't do it just when you plant. So talk to us about root starter.
So up here at 7,000 feet, like you said, it does take a matter of years for a plant to get established. So really we say it's that 3 to 5 year period of time that we are babying our plants. And where some plants will naturalize to our natural environment and can be water-wise, others, you want to really pay that attention for the first few years. So one of those things that you can do is you can add a root starter. You can do it in the spring when you water it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that we should be doing right now?
Right now, there's a lot of prep things that you can do. You can aerate your lawn and do it back to lawns. Like a good deep raking is always highly recommended. Our soil here, as everyone has witnessed in their own yard, is pretty poor. It's an alkaline, high base soil. One thing that we love to use at the nursery is the mineral gypsum. So you toss that around your lawn and it naturally aerates and makes it easier for water to get down to the roots. At the same time that you're applying your gypsum right now, you can fertilize.
Gypsum. And that was a new one for me.
Isn't that what sheetrock is made out of? Isn't that gypsum?
I think you're right.
Okay, I just had to make
don't
sure.
Don't use your sheetrock.
Yeah, don't. Especially with the shortages in construction supplies, please don't use your gypsum or your sheetrock. And with many, I've struggled to even, so once I've prepped the soil, once I've done a lot of that hard work beforehand, I'll plant just like normal sometime here in June, and then something totally destroys me. So I know a lot of folks are excited now, but here's our cliffhanger. When do you recommend we plant our gardens?
So historically, we've always given the benchmark of wait until Father's Day until you can really just chill out. Father's Day being that holiday in late June. However, last year we had snow the day after Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And we had to send out alarm messages to our customers. Wait. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious for everyone. But yes, all the way through June, we're going to have beautiful weather. You just can't take your eye off the forecast. So go ahead and start working on your potted planters and your annuals. Just be ready to pull them into your garage or throw a frost cloth over them if we're going to dip back into freezing temps at night. After Father's Day-ish, then you can really relax. for the months of July and August.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you can really relax for about 6 weeks, it seems, because sometimes we'll get that first freeze in August. But unless we're growing tomatoes, which will be completely decimated if that happens, and a lot of other vegetables, I would imagine, our perennials should be pretty well established by that point, and also annuals that you put in flower pots, right?
Definitely. And for you, Pete, I recommend trying again with container gardening. So container gardening, you can reap the benefits of having, you know, beautiful herbs and plants. You're going to use your premium soil in the container. It's a short season, so don't skimp on quality soil. And then it's not a big area to have to think about irrigating or sprinkling. You can just focus on watering your containers.
I do have a question. Do you cover those containers? Do you suggest, you know, a little mini greenhouse?
Yeah, you can do a hoop garden, or you can just get some frost cloth in which you'll tent over your planters when it's going to dip below freezing.
I want to ask you about, well, I know that it's 7,000 feet and I've lived here for many decades, and it seems like we're so limited, really. Like, if I think about perennials off the top of my head, I think of
potatoes, onions.
No, I've given up after the first couple of years trying tomatoes, and they never came to fruition. I gave up on that, so I'm sticking with flowers. But, you know, you've got your columbines and your gallardia and your coneflower, and it seems like
a little boring.
It just seems I love those flowers, but it seems pretty limited.
It's not that limited, and I really love a wild, lush English garden. That's what I'm drawn to. And I love making floral arrangements. So some things that I find to be like those big kind of focal flowers that are still successful here and are perennials and will come back are delphinium, the royal beautiful delphinium. You can do a gorgeous poppy. Peonies are stunning here, and they last and last, and they can even be considered a water-wise flower. Lilacs are so hardy. Racking my brain. There's tons of gorgeous full flowers that you can use.
Can I interrupt you and ask you about peonies? Okay, this is definitely a keeping up with the Joneses sort of thing, but my neighbor Ed, his peonies are, they're like 8 inches already, and they're all over his yard, and I'd like to know what Ed does, what his secrets are. I'm sure he won't tell me, but my peonies haven't even come up yet. And I was thinking, is it because I'm bad at fertilizing? If they're water-wise,
I'm
happy to hear.
When did you plant them?
Oh, they've been there for years.
Okay. So peonies, one thing that you need to do is make sure you don't plant them too deep. So most of the time we go ahead and we dig the hole and we put the plant in to the base where it starts to grow out of the dirt. With a peony, it likes to be slightly above the dirt. So you might want to think about raising it or relocating it.
Okay, thank you.
This is the kind of thing I am so excited about for coffee talk or garden talk over
at... Yes, at the garden cafe.
You know, and just last year, I had a unique experience where we finally fully landscaped our yard. We put sedum and yarrow and a lot of water-wise. And lo and behold, those darn deer came over and just ate up my sedum, which I'd never, ever, I've had gardens in Salt Lake and here, never seen, but those were some hungry deer.
So let's see what happens this year. Oftentimes when you put something new in your garden, even if it's something that we tell you is deer moose resistant, they'll still try it because it's new. So just wait and see. They might say, oh, we didn't like that. We're not going to do it again.
I'm going to put out some other plants in my neighbor's yard that they love.
at Ed's house.
At Ed's house, next to his peonies.
Oh, that's right.
That would be a fun class over at Park City Gardens, sabotaging your neighbor's yard. Bringing moose to your neighbor's yard.
Oh, goodness. I have to say that some of my neighbors were saying, boy, the deer have eaten everything, you know, this year so far, like when the bulbs were coming up. And sure enough, I had planted some new tulip bulbs in my front yard, but and they just ate them down to the nubs. Well, suddenly, though, there are flower buds and tulips are coming up. They've survived. And it seems as though either the deer are no longer interested in it when they flower, or maybe there's just enough vegetation out there that the deer have relocated. What do you think, Sophie?
Okay, first of all, I'm sorry, Lynn, but tulips are deer candy.
Oh.
So, guys, unless you live in right on a big road where there's not very many deer, just don't do it. I find that the deer come right before they're about to blossom. So they're in bud, and I'm looking forward to enjoying them. And right at that moment, literally in that night, they're eaten. So they might not last another day for you.
Okay, so don't count your tulips before they blossom.
When that night happens, I'm going to stay up. I'm going to drink a lot of coffee, and then I'll wake up in the morning and see them blossom with my wife.
We're speaking with Sophie Kohler of Park City Gardens, Park City Nursery, and she's excited to talk about the new greenhouse. It's really a beautiful greenhouse if you see it driving by on 224 as it's been going up. Is that where the little coffee shop is going to be located? At the greenhouse? In the greenhouse?
So we'll definitely have tables in the greenhouse where you can take your cup of coffee or tea and go hang out. But the coffee shop is in the bite-sized building that is a historical building that's next to the white Victorian house that serves as the garden boutique. And the coffee shop was the original general store of Park City, and it used to sit on Highway 224. They picked it up and plopped it over on Park City Nursery's property when they put in the highway. And it sat there as a shed on our land that we've just been fantasizing about doing something with. And we got the permit to make a historical site and make it a coffee shop. So we lifted up that tiny little building and we poured a foundation and we put it back, and we had the most wonderful framing crew make that building safe and strong without moving a single board. So its essence, its integrity is purely intact as the original general store. So when you go in there, you will definitely feel like this place is something special. It feels like out of a cowboy movie. And but it is so small that there'll be very limited seating, couple two tops and a bar, and then lots of outdoor seating and some overage over in the greenhouse.
Well, who wants to sit inside a building when you're at Park City Gardens, right? And then you can just grab one of the flowers and walk to the register and say, I'm going to have this. I've bonded with this flower over a cup of coffee, and I'm going to bring it home.
Absolutely. Well, Sophie Kohler, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Park City Nursery and Gardens is really... I would say it's just iconic in this community. It's been there so long. It's in such a place that I think when people drive by on Highway 224, for example, they know when it's going to freeze overnight because you guys have your sheets out over all of the racks of flowers. And it's just, it's just something in our community that we expect to be there always. And so thank you for joining us, and thanks for all you're doing out there.
Thank you so much for having me and for appreciating our nursery.
And we'll see you out there for that plethora of perennials that I didn't have in my repertoire. So
absolutely, come on by. Our staff is amazing and so knowledgeable.
And as they say, they always offer to help you to your car with your new purchases. It's just such a nice place.
Thank you.
Oh, and wait, one last question. Can you bring your dog still?
Yes, you can still bring your dog. It's really your responsibility. So if your dog needs to be on a leash, certainly have your dog on a leash. But we are dog friendly. It's the owner's responsibility 100%.
Excellent. Sophie, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.